All right. I'm going to start a series, and you know, I was going through sort of a thing for this year, and this is probably going to, I imagine it's probably going to take us about maybe 3 months to get through with this series. And this is something I've been waiting for a long time, to actually begin to teach on prayer. You know, I mean, if you have to ask, if prayer is so important, right, why is it so difficult to pray? You know, and how do I pray? Why do I know your bulletin says why pray, but that's actually, I was planning to speak on that, but I realized I had to go a few steps back first and sort of describe what prayer is all about. And I'm going to go really slow, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give like a real general overview 1 week. Then next week, I'm going to go very specifically in that topic. And I'll go very generally, and I'll go very specific and stuff. And you know, you'll have the whole gamut of prayer, and I actually want to sort of package these talks and sort of be able to send these things out. You know, and so, you know, going back, it's like, you know, you ask, what is the big deal with prayer? You know, I mean, what's the deal with this whole idea of praying? You know, I mean, it's as old as man, right? People have been prayed for centuries, right? It's as universal as religion. Everyone prays. You know, people of all different faiths pray in some different way, right? It is as instinctive as it is for us to breathe. You know, courts are banning prayer in schools in the United States. I mean, this is a big trouble. You know, that people are spending millions of dollars to fight in the Supreme Court and fight in lower courts about this idea of prayer. And interestingly, you know, I saw a little story, and there was actually a sign in a high school restroom. And the sign said, "Notice, in the event of an atomic attack, the federal ruling against prayer in this school will be temporarily suspended." You know, and so, you know, we understand that, you know, I mean, they can only tell us so much, you can't do this, you can't do that. But we know that we always, think about it, when we're desperate, everyone prays. I don't care if you're atheist, right, or you're a believer, or you're backslidden, or whatever it may be, right? Everyone prays during these times. You know, we pray before we eat. You know, we pray, you know, before, you know, we have important meetings. You know, we're always praying about, you know, so many different things. I actually saw this really cute story, right? There was this this little boy, he was asked to pray before the meal. And so, you know, he sat down and he sort of looked at all the food, you know, looked at the spread that was out there, and he sort of took a glance, and, you know, the parents and everyone else closed their eyes, and he just took his fork out and he just started eating, right? And the parents opened their eyes and said, "Hey, you know, why'd you start eating? You know, we asked you to pray." You know, and then interestingly, the kid said, you know, he looked over and he says, "Well, you know, I already prayed for this food, right? These are leftovers." You know, and this is a kind of like a, you know, even kids instinctively understand to be thankful in these kind of things. You know, and so, you know, we pray in so many different areas. We pray, you know, when we come to church, you know, if you're a good Korean, right, the first thing you do is you step into church and you sit down and you pray. You know, and this is stuff that we just learned, you know, growing up for such a long time, right? And like I said, prayer is practiced, right, in some form by all men of all different faiths. Right? Everyone prays when they're desperate. Isn't that true? Right? Every one of us, right, when it really comes down to it, man, it's like, this is the only time, but this is, actually, I got this book of illustrations. So I'm just going through some of them, right? It's funny, because when I was going through, I thought they were hilarious, but I guess maybe not. But there's one story in there, and it was a story of these three pastors, these three ministers were talking one day, and they were talking about prayer, and, you know, they're talking about how to pray, or different forms of prayer, or what you should do when you pray, and there happened to be this telephone repairman, and he was in the room, he was repairing the system, and he was going through this, and he was listening to these prayers, and one of the pastors says that, you know, in order to really pray, you know, you got to, like, clasp your hands together and point it towards heaven, you know, and then God will really hear you. You know, and then it's okay. And then another pastor says, no. The key to praying, the posture for prayer is you should really get on your knees. You know, and then if you really pray like that, because that's a sign of humility and God will do something. You know, and then finally the third minister said, no. The key to prayer, right, you guys are all wrong. The key to prayer is lay face down on your face, right, before the Lord. You know, and if you pray like that, God will really answer your prayers. You know, the telephone repairman was actually listening to this whole conversation and he couldn't help but sort of butt in. He says, "No, I know that the most effective way to pray, or the strongest," he said, "the most powerful prayer I ever made when I was dangling four stories, right, from a building, right, with my foot just caught on the ledge, and I prayed the most powerful prayer I ever prayed," right, and we do this. See, it was a lot more funnier for me when I was reading it, right, you know, and we do these things, right, when we're desperate, You know, we're people that we just cry out to God all the time. I mean, I don't know how many times that, you know, I've been going through the motions, going through my life, and then when it really comes down to, you know, where I really need something, really want something, then I begin to cry out to God. You know, and I find people, you know, all the time that, you know, that they, you know, never call me, they never really talk to me as a pastor, they just sort of, you know, hang, you know, they're just sort of there. But then when there's crisis in their life, I'm their best friend. And all of a sudden, you know, Pastor Sam, you're my buddy, you know, you know, you got to really help me out in this situation, and then please, can you please pray for me? You know, and we do this all the time, right, when we're really desperate. And prayer has become in that way for some of us, right? Prayer springs from our hearts with a need, right, that is greater than man's ability to encounter. Prayer is man's acknowledgement, right, that there is a higher being than himself. You know, and that's, see, this is the root of prayer. You know, the opposite of praying, or I should say the antithesis of prayer is pride, right? Listen to me very carefully. Prayer says, God, I need you. God, right, there has to be something greater than this. God, right, this is above my head, right? You know, pride is on the other side, says, I can do this myself. Right? Pride says, right, I get this all figured out on my own, right? It's self-reliance. You know, but prayer is the opposite of pride. In other words, prayer is an act of humility. And prayer says, Lord, I can't do this. God, I really need you during this time. Right? That's what this whole prayer is all about. Right? Most people, right, we all try to pray in some way. Yet, let's be honest. So few of us know how to really, really pray. Right? We often ask ourselves, right, if prayer is so important, if prayer is so powerful, why is it so difficult to do? I mean, you know, I think about this all the time. If prayer is so great and all that, why is it so difficult? You know, and then it sort of dawned on me, maybe that's why it's so difficult. Because it's so great. Right? Because it's so worthy. You know, and the enemy of our lives wants us to break away from these things. You know, if we're really going to be honest with ourselves, I mean, really, just think about this. You know, most of us, if you don't have an effective prayer life, most of your lives, you're living off borrowed prayer. What do I mean by that? Let me unpackage that for a little bit. We are living off borrowed prayer. Right, I have a friend of mine, and my friend, his parents are very well-known missionaries in the Philippines. And, you know, they lived there for years, and these his parents are incredibly faithful people. I mean, they're faithful people of prayer. You know, and we were having a discussion one day, and we were talking together, and, you know, we're sharing sort of our hearts with one another. And my friend began to confess to me. He says, you know, I'm really struggling with prayer, you know, and on and on. And we just had this really long discussion and conversation together. And during the course of that, you know, I finally, you know, because you know, sometimes I really get in people's faces, right? And I just said, you know what, you know, buddy, let me tell you what. You know, you are living off borrowed prayer. You know, all the blessings that you're receiving in your life, it's a result of your parents praying for you. You know, and I challenged them with this question. I said, you know, can you imagine what God could do in your life if you begin to pray on your own? Right? If you really begin to own for your own life, right, this whole prayer ministry. You know, and my friend's sitting there and goes, yeah, I know, I totally, you know. And I mean, most of us, like, we're living off borrowed prayer. We're living off the excesses of someone else's prayers for us, someone else's intercession. But can you imagine what God can do in our life if we begin to pray on our own? You know, if you've been coming in the morning meetings, right, early morning prayer, you've been noticing that first focus of our group prayer focus is to pray for ourselves. Right, to really pray that God would break through in this next year, right, in this year, and God would really do something magnificent, right, and turn our lives into something so splendid. You know, and it starts with us. And so I'm asking people, let's really pray for ourselves. Or let's really pray for God to move in our lives. You know, because, I mean, let's be honest. You know, we're living off borrowed time. Right? We're living off someone else's prayers. And it's about time for us to really grab a hold, right, and seek God's face for ourselves. You know, because I know what that was like. You know, many years ago, when I was in seminary class, I took this a class, it was sort of on prayer, one of the major topics. It was by, you're probably familiar with Dr. Peter Wagner, right? One of the most renowned professors. And we're in Wagner's class, and Wagner began to talk about intercession. I never heard the term before in my life. I mean, I've been a pastor for a few years. I never heard what intercession was, that people pray for other people. And then he began to tell me that there are people like that God has raised up in the kingdom of God that can pray like 8-9 hours a day, every day, and they love it, you know? And I was like, you got to be kidding me, man, right? I mean, like 8 hours a day, really? And I remember I prayed, 8 hours one time, and I almost died. You know, and these guys do it every day, and they love it. You know, and he began to share what intercessors do, that they pray for other people. You know, and that a lot of times, because he's talking to about 400 leaders in this, maybe about 200 leaders in this classroom. And he's telling these guys that if you're a leader, that you should have an effective prayer life, you know, and that's obvious. And then he said, on top of that, if you're a leader, you should ask God to send you intercessors into your life to pray for you and your ministry. You know, and so, you know, I remember sitting in class, and so I was like, interesting. There's actually people in the kingdom of God that will pray for me like 8 or 9 hours a day. You know, and so I lifted my hand up. I said, hey, Pete, right? Hey, where do you get these intercessors, man? I need some of them people in my life, you know? And so we just share it. And so Wagner goes, this is what you do. You pray. And so he goes, let's pray. Right? So everyone, I mean, we were really praying hard, man, because we all want people to pray for us, right? As I was sitting in class, I said, okay, God, please, would you send people in my life to pray for me? Right? And so, lo and behold, next weekend, I go off to this conference. And it was actually a spiritual warfare conference at Jack Hayford's church in Van Nuys. And so while I was at this conference, I actually went to the wrong campus. If you know Church on the Way, they have two campuses. I went to the wrong campus. I was supposed to go to the west campus. I went to the east campus. But while I was there, you know, I got in the parking lot, and it's like, wow, we're really early. Like, it's really empty. And we're at the wrong place. But there was also another car, right? And these other people in there, and they were at the wrong place. And all these guys had these name tags on, and it said intercessor. And these guys were actually speaking at the conference, you know? And so I gave them a ride, and, you know, I was all chummy-chummy with them, and, you know, just talking with these guys, and so, you know, trying to recruit them to pray for me. You know, I'm not sly by any means. I'm just very direct, right? If you know me already, you know I'm like that. And so if I'm doing this thing, and as we're talking, I sort of made a couple mistakes. I have a tendency to say whatever's on my mind sometimes, right? And sometimes, you know, I put my foot in my mouth. And so because Dr. Wagner told us that intercessors sometimes are really weird because they're so spiritual. You know, and I noticed they said, intercessor. I said, you know, Dr. Wagner says that you guys are pretty weird. You know, like, what do you guys do and stuff? You know, and they begin to explain a little bit more. And so I didn't start on the right foot, basically. But lo and behold, you know, during the course of this conference, I end up meeting this lady, you know, as we're walking. Her name was Juanita. And Juanita's about 62 years old. And all she does is pray. I mean, she just gives herself to prayer. And so we just made a connection, you know. And one of my friends was working with Dr. Wagner. And so he got me up into the prayer room. You know, and I always had this, I'll be really honest, okay, because, you know, I have a Baptist background, Southern Baptist background, and I always thought that people that prayed were really weird. You know what I mean? Like, people that move in spiritual gifts were really weird. It was just sort of in my mind and stuff. And so now I thought that people that really prayed and people that really after the Holy Spirit, that they really didn't know the Bible very well, right? But only us Baptists and us Methodists and Presbyterians, right? We really knew the Bible. But these charismatics, man, they didn't know the Bible at all. So I go into this prayer room, right? And there's probably about 20 intercessors. And they've been there for 8 hours already. And they're doing shifts, right? 10-hour shifts each, praying the whole time during this conference. And so I went up there, and they were doing all these things. And I happened to meet a man named Chuck Pierce. Chuck Pierce is one of the most renowned prayer leaders in the United States. And this guy's teaching me about intercession. And so it was pretty incredible time. He's actually going there, and he's like, you know, like all these people, and they're praying intensely. And he'd go over and he'd like prophesy over Alaska, you know, and the Lord, thus saith the Lord, blah, blah, blah. And then he'd come over to me and says, okay, Sam, this is what I was doing, blah, 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 right? And he'd go back and prophesy about something, and then he'd come over to me and says, oh, this is what I was doing. And I was just so amazed. And they had this huge board where they were giving, like, all these things that they were hearing from God, and they were praying, right, back to the Lord as intercession. And, like, I was noticing all the verses, they were from, like, Zechariah. Right, and like Malachi, you know, and like Zephaniah, you know, stuff by we like passages that we've never read before, right? And we know like John 3:16, you know, we know like, you know, Matthew, right? Or maybe we don't know, right? Philippians 1:4, you know, like we know these kind of passages, right? But these guys are like Zechariah 3:8, you know, and this, and I mean, all these really obscure, like all these minor prophets that some of you guys probably don't even know who they are. These actually guys are actually in the Bible. You know, and I was sitting there, and I was just so amazed. Like, these guys really know the Word. I was a bit sad, because like, these guys know the Word better than I do. Because I don't know what the heck those verses are. You know, and I consider myself to be a man of the Scriptures, right? You know, and so, to make a long story short, I end up meeting this lady, and so we started connecting. And during the course of, after about the second day of the conference, she walks up to me, and she gives me her business card. And she said, you know, the Lord spoke to me. right, that I'm supposed to pray for you. And so here's my card. And so if you ever need prayer, give me a call. Well, that was back in 1996. And to this day, Juanita still prays for me. She's one of my personal intercessors. You know, later I'll be talking more specifically about intercession, like A1, A2, A3. I'm going to go over your head right now, but just give you a little suspense later on. And she's my A1 intercessor, meaning that she knows everything about my life, right? I'm an open book before her. She challenges me. She rebukes me a lot of times. And I know she prays for me every single day. You know, when I go out to speak at conferences or whatnot, that you know, I always tell her, I give her my schedule all the time, and she prays for me. You know, that's just her job. And for her, you know, she is a personal intercessor. And God gives her individual people, and she prays for them. Other people are what they call project intercessors. And God gives them assignments to pray for specific things, you know, like to pray over a country or to pray for over a conference. But she's a personal intercessor. And so God gives her a real godly, you know, men, hopefully, right? And she prays for them. And so much so that she told me there's one guy, and he used to be an usher in her church. And God one day spoke to her to pray for this guy, you know, and so she just began to pray for him and pray for him. And next thing you know, the guy becomes a pastor, you know, and this guy's got this international ministry now, you know, but it all happened through intercession. Now, the point of this is not to tell a story. So I'm thinking, okay, this lady's praying for me. And then during this time, I'm learning more about intercession. And then other people are walking up to me out of nowhere and saying, Sam, you know, Pastor Sam, I recognize God's anointing on your life. I want to pray for you. You know, can I be your personal intercessor? I'm like, sure, man. You know, the more the merrier, right? Because, you know, Dr. Wagner, he has over 1,500 intercessors that pray just for him, right? He's got 6 what we call A1 intercessors, right? But he's got so many others, and all they just pray for him. And so I'm like, I'm a little behind, man. He's got 1,500, right? I got to catch up real fast. And so, you know, I'm going through this thing, and these people are coming out to me. And so and all of a sudden, I've got this prayer covering around me. And I tell you, like, ministry is so much easier. You know what I mean? Like, this preaching is so much better and stuff. And, you know, like, the meeting with people and things are just coming into order. You know what that did to me? I started getting really lazy with my own personal prayer time. Because, you know, my thinking was, these guys are pros. I'm not a pro, right? Let's let the professionals do what they do. Let me focus on doing other stuff. You know, and I made the carnal mistake of not keeping a prayer life for myself. You know, and I didn't really realize it until actually Juanita called me one day and slapped me upside the head and said, hey, get off your butt, get on your knees, and start praying. You know, and really challenged me. And I realized, you know, Oswald Chambers has this incredible quote. If you read My Utmost for the Highest, you know Chambers. And he said, you know, prayer, right, is not for the higher work. Prayer is the higher work. You know, and I made the big mistake of not keeping a personal prayer time. Because then I lost intimacy with God. You know, and the funny thing is, like, things can go well around you. And I know you probably have experienced this. Right? All these things can go well. But then your relationship with God is in shambles. And you feel miserable. Have you ever experienced that? And you know, I've experienced it many times in my life, you know, where ministry was happening, you know, my relationships were happening, all these things were just sort of coming in order, but my relationship with God was not there. And so deep inside, I was missing something, and I was miserable. And I'd rather have this relationship with Him, you know, on schedule, on par, than have all these things go well in my life. I know, that's where I'm at. I don't know, we may be at different places in our lives. You know, but I was longing for intimacy, and I made a huge, huge mistake. And I was living off borrowed prayer. I was living off someone else's prayer for such a long time. But God wanted to redirect me. Right? God wanted to, because He loved me so much, right? You ever heard that saying, very old saying, right? God loves you so much, right? He loves you just the way you are. You guys heard that, right? But He loves you too much to leave you that way. You know, and God's like that with me, right? He loves me just the way I am. But He loves me too much to just leave me in that situation, to leave me in that state. And so, you know, I went through this time. And so I come, and as we talk about prayer, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Can you guys hear me okay? Is this a little low? Because I find myself shouting a lot. You guys can hear me in the back? Okay? Okay. Just this one little part. In chapter 11, verse 1, and it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. The theme for these next few months for us is simply this. As disciples, we come before the Lord and we're earnestly saying, Lord, teach me to pray. All right, this is going to be the title of this whole series. Lord, teach me to pray. You know, and that's an incredible statement because Jesus, right? This guy was the greatest person ever walked on the face of the earth. You know, and he was so incredible. He was a miracle worker. You know, I mean, he did some things that were just astounding to people. Right? This guy was a great teacher. Right? I mean, the disciples could have asked him anything, and God would have done it for them. Right? Jesus would have done it for them. But what did the disciples ask? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. There was something so special about the way Jesus prayed, and it stirred something within them. You know, and it had them say, Lord, teach me. These guys are saying there's something so powerful about the way you do it. He says, you know, I've been to church my whole life, and I've seen the Pharisees, I've seen the lawyers, I've seen these pious people, I've seen them pray, but they don't pray like you pray. You know, and so much so, not only do they don't pray like you pray, but God doesn't answer these guys' prayers like he answers your prayers. Like you go up and you say, be open, and people's eyes are open, and their ears are open. And you say, get up, and people rise up from the dead. You know, from the pallet and all these things. And there's something so special and unique about the way Jesus prayed. And so we're going to spend these next few months going through this journey. And all we're doing is we're humbly coming before the Lord. And we're saying like this disciple said. Or we're saying, Lord, there's something significant about your prayer life. There's something different about the way you pray, Lord, in the Scriptures than the way I pray. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Let the Lord teach you to pray. Now, I'm going to go through a couple of things here. There are basically two different types of prayers. There's actually a lot more, but I'm going to just break it down. Like I said, I'm going to go basic. Next week, I'm going to go specific, right? Two different types of prayer. The first type of prayer is prayer that does not reach God, obviously. So the other type of prayer is prayer that reaches God, right? There's prayer that God hears, and there's prayers that God doesn't hear. You know, I mean, it's as plain as black and white, right? There's prayers that move God, and there's prayers that cause God to be unmoved. You know, that sometimes he doesn't even listen to, right? There's prayers that reach him, and there's other prayers that just clang off the ceiling, right? Like it was brass. That's just the fact of what happens. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Very famous passage. We'll just do this to introduce this whole theme for us. Luke 18, verse 9. And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Notice in this passage, right? Two men, right? Both professionals, right? You got a Pharisee, and you got a publican or a tax gatherer, right? These are two professionals, right? If you say, you know, it was a religious guy, you know, and the other guy was a finance guy. Both men went to the same exact place at the same exact time for the same exact purpose, to pray to God. Yet one, his prayers reached the Lord, and the other one, his prayers fell right back in his face, right? There's prayers that reach him, there's prayers that don't. The Pharisee prayed in his religious pride, right? Expecting God to answer because he thought himself worthy. This is the sin of presumption, right? He just presumed, hey, I'm a good guy. You know, and a lot of times we do this, right? I'm a good guy. I don't really do anything wrong. You know, I'm all right. You know, and we just expect God to answer our prayers. In fact, we sort of demand, you know, God to really do that in our lives. You know, and think about this. This guy, this Pharisee, he informed God of his own goodness, right? He informed God, you know, that he was better than others. he informed God, and he boasted about his pride. He boasted of his good works. He said, I fast, I pay, I do all these things. This is the kind of prayer that does not reach God. This is self-righteous prayer. Right, this is prayer that focuses on ourself, but not just focuses on ourself, but focuses on how great we are. You know, I'm so good. You know, I'm so great. You know, I'm so humble. You know, I do all these things. And, you know, and we do this. You know, a lot of times, you know, actually Charles was in Korea last week, and Charles went to a prayer mountain. You know, and so he was emailing me and stuff, and he was sharing with me a couple of things. And do you remember what you said? He was sharing, like, yeah, it's sort of, you know, I mean, it was incredible seeing all these people really, you know, go before God and you know, really cry out to him. You know, and just the sort of thoughts that were coming through his mind was like, but, I, you know, it's sort of sad to see a lot of them just all just bless me prayers. You know, bless me, bless me. And sometimes we operate in that way, right? You know, a lot of times, like, you know, just because you come early in the morning, you expect God to answer your prayers. You know, and you know, it's like, Lord, see, I, you know, you would never say this out loud, but in the darkness of your heart, it's there. And it's like, God, I came early this morning. I sacrificed. You better answer my prayer. You know, or God, I just gave my offering. You know, and I got this thing going on. God, you better answer my prayer. You know, we would never say this out loud. But I guarantee it's in our heart, because I know it's in my heart. You know, God, I've been so good this week. Surely you'll grant me this request. You know, or God, you know, I did so many good things this week. You know, I really gave to the poor, and I really, you know, did my best in these areas. Surely you're going to answer me, right? This is self-righteous prayer. This is prayer that's focused on self, right? It's focused on what I do, my abilities, the way I can do these things. Right, and that's prayer that does not reach God. Now let's look at the other guy. We have this tax gatherer. And all of a sudden this guy comes to God in great humility. He humbles himself. Notice, yeah, he's focused on himself, true. But it's in a whole different way. He's conscious of his own unworthiness. Right? That's the first thing. He comes before him, right? He confesses himself to be a sinner. He's begging for mercy. This is the kind of prayer that reaches God. This is righteous prayer. Notice both were sort of focused on themselves, right? But this guy was the focus on himself began to turn to God so quickly. He says, God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Right? He comes in great humility. And see, prayer is already an act of humility. Was so incredible that you can be robbed of that just like that, any blessing, because of the condition of our hearts. Right, so there's self-righteous prayer and there's righteous prayer, right? Basically two types of prayers. This is what it's about. Right? Now, let's get to the gist of this. What is prayer? Prayer, right? It's an incredible privilege to pray because it brings you into close fellowship with God. Right? Admitting that you need Him, right? Your need for Him and your utter dependence upon Him. But what is prayer? Turn to Matthew chapter 7, because Jesus tells us. And all these lessons, I'm just going to take right out of the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 7. This is what it says. Verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Right? Let's read 7 again. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Prayer, very simply, is asking and receiving. Prayer is talking with God. It is making your request known to Him in faith. I know this is very general, okay? I'm going to get more specific later on, but I just want to throw this like foundation out for us, right? The Lord instructs each of us, ask, seek, and knock. These three words cover the whole spectrum of what prayer is all about, right? Number one, prayer is asking and receiving. Now, when you know the will of God regarding a need, whether it be material or spiritual, then you can ask and receive. Okay? Because prayer is asking and receiving. This prayer, right, is according to the revealed work of God. In other words, if you know God's will about a particular matter, right, and you can pray God's will, you can pray that will, you can ask Him, and you will receive. Right, that's true. Turn your Bibles to, what do we have here? 1 John chapter 5. Let's read what John says about this. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John is towards the end of the Bible. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And it says this, "And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know what that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him." Right? This is a great passage. Right? You know, John the Beloved is saying, if you know God's will about a particular matter, all you need to do is ask Him, and He'll give it to you. What an incredible blessing. But all we need is just ask Him, and He'll give it to us. Right? So prayer is asking and receiving. Number two, prayer is seeking and finding. Now, when you don't know the will of God regarding a specific request, whether it be material or spiritual, then you are to seek Him, right? You are to seek His will in prayer concerning the need until you find it. Right? So prayer is seeking and finding. Right, remember, asking and receiving. You know God's will already. You know what He's saying about a particular matter. You know what He's saying and what He's going to give to you. Then you can ask and you'll receive. Right, that's the easy part. But there's also times in our life, right, where we're asking God and we don't know His will about a particular matter. We don't know if He wants me to move back home, you know, or if He wants me to move and take this job over here, you know, or if He wants me to do this in this timing. You know, we don't understand. There's so many questions. Probably each one of us, we probably have 5-10 questions in our life. Lord, what do I do? And we don't know God's will in a particular matter. And so what we do is we come to the Lord in prayer and we seek His will. That's what we do. We seek His will and we find His will. Because then when you find His will, then you can go to the next part of asking and then you start receiving. Right? Isn't that great? I mean, it's so basic for us, right? It's so easy to understand this. Right? When you don't know the will of God regarding any, whether it be material or spiritual, then you're to seek His will in prayer concerning the need until you find it. Right? This is prayer, right, for knowledge of the unrevealed will of God in a specific need. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Right? So if you want to know what God's up to, you want to know what He's about, right? Colossians, right? Paul's telling us, seek those things that are above. Right? Seek His face. You know, I'm sure there's so many questions that we have. You know, and I've done this so many times in my life where I sat in that place and I sought Him. I didn't know a situation. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. You know, Lord, you want me to move to Hong Kong? Are you crazy? You know, okay, God, show me your will. You know, and then once you start seeing that will, then you say, God, you know, just begin to open doors. Begin to do what you need to do. And then I just start receiving from Him. Right? It's such a beautiful transaction. And I'm not going to turn there, but you can also look to, actually, let's go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah is after Isaiah. Very famous passage, right? Jeremiah 29. Let's see what it says in verse 12 and 13. Is there Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And Jeremiah is in that same place, man. If you seek Him with everything you got, you're going to find Him. You know, and later on, if you continue to read that, he says, "If you do that, I'll be found by you," says the Lord. Right? And so God's not hiding, right? You know, God's not playing, you know, hide and seek with us. You know, though sometimes it feels like it, right? God's not hiding somewhere and trying to find me. He's just right there. You know, and He's just waiting for you to move a little bit, right? So you can find Him. You know, and he's one of those guys that wants to be found. You know, when I went back home during Thanksgiving, I played hide and seek with my nephew and my niece, right? Little kids are the worst hide and seek players in the history, right? Because, I mean, you know, they hide. They don't even hide, right? And they hide so they can be found, so I can go find them, and then we laugh, you know, and then they want me to play again, so I play again, and you know, and then like, you know, they like one little beam, and they're hiding behind the beam, you know, but they just want to be found. You know, because they have so much joy, you know, in being found. Hey, I found you. I caught you. And I give them a hug, you know, and we wrestle a bit. And then, okay, again, Uncle Sam, again, right? And we play again and again and again. But they want to be found. God's like that. God's not, you know, like this disappearing act, you know, and hiding somewhere where you can't find him, right? God's like, you know, hiding behind a, you know, little toothpick, you know, thinking, hey, can you find me? You know, and all we have to do is just sort of turn a little bit and turn towards him, and we can find him just like that. Right, God operates in that way. You know, he's not trying to hide from us. You know, and this is what we do, right? Prayer is seeking and finding. Number three, prayer is knocking and opening. When you know the will of God, and this is probably the most painful of all of them, right? Amen? You guys will say in a second. When you know the will of God, and yet you still find a closed door, you're to knock and keep on knocking until God opens the door. Right? This is probably the most troubling for me, right? Because, you know, finding God's will, that's okay. But how about when you know God's will? You know, I mean, you know that your husband, or you know that your brother or your dad is supposed to be a Christian. You just know that, right? Because the Bible says he desired that none would perish. And you know that you know that you know. You know that's God's will for that person's life. But yet you're praying and nothing's happening in their life. You know, but you know it's God's will. And so what do? You just keep knocking, right? I mean, I just bang down the door, you know? That's what it says. And actually, if you look in the Greek, in this is what you call a present tense imperative, right? The structure of this, right? When it says, you know, ask and you shall find, seek, right? Basically, the better way of describing that for us is keep asking and continue to keep asking. Keep seeking and continue to keep speaking. Right, keep knocking and continue to keep knocking, right? It's a present tense imperative. It's a command, but it's happening in the present tense. So it's telling us to continually knock, continually ask, continually seek. Right? That's the structure, right, by which Matthew is writing this in the Greek. And so we're to knock down the door, man. You know, and so if I know God's will in my life, you know, and I know that this is His will, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, anybody there? Right? I mean, you better bet I'm buck wild going to knock that door down, right? As much as I can. You know, bang, God! Come on, man! What's your problem? Right? Sometimes we get into that mode. You know, but just giving ourselves to God and say, God, do something. You know, I mean, I guarantee you, I would not be married to my wife if I just did one of these. Oh, maybe you're not home right now. Sorry, I don't want to disturb you, God. You know, but I'm saying, Lord, come on. Right? Just make it happen. You know, I mean, I was so desperate. Just make her like me. Come on, God. You know, that's the kind of twisting God's arm prayer, right? You know, that doesn't work. And so, but it's this idea of knocking and asking and seeking and being tenacious. Right? Remember the parable, right, about the visitor at night? You know, this guy comes and he knocks on the door and says, hey, man, you got any bread? You got any food at home? Very rude, right? These guys are sleeping. You know, and they're saying, oh, no, go away, man. We got nothing to eat. You know, we got nothing happening here. But he just kept persisting and kept knocking on that door. Hey, man, my guests are really hungry. I'm paraphrasing, okay? This is the new Sam translation, right? You know, I'm just keep knocking, he's doing all these things. He says, okay, come on. And he says, no, we got, you know, and finally, because this guy's pestering him so much, the guy opens the door and comes out. You know, interestingly, that parable, if you understand the background, you know, in a Jewish home, I'll just give you a freebie today, okay? In a Jewish home, you know, people slept with their animals, right? And so when people went to sleep, there was like just this little loft up here, right? And people would go up there to sleep. And it wouldn't be like everyone has their own bedroom. Everyone slept in one huge bed together, basically. Just some mats on the floor. You know, and so for the guy to get up and start making food means he gets up, he wakes up all the animals. He wakes up his own kids. You know what I mean? And it's going to take hours to go back to sleep. That's why the guy was like, forget it, man. We're already in bed. You know, and so it took a lot for that guy to get out of bed, wake up all his kids, wake up his family, you know, go take the ladder downstairs, you know, wake up all his animals and prepare the food. You know, but see, God's not like that. God doesn't have to go through all this trouble for us. You know what I mean? But he's looking at our hearts. He's saying, man, will this guy press in? You know, will he really give himself or herself to this? Or is he just going to sit back and, you know, because then the thought is, well, maybe he don't really want it. You know what I mean? Maybe it's really not that important to him. You know, maybe it's not really a big deal. And so, but what God is looking for, right? He's looking for tenacious prayer. Prayer for mountain-moving faith. You know, he doesn't want us to give up. That's why he says, right, knock. Just keep knocking. You know, and eventually, if that's God's will, the door will be open to you. And that would be such an incredibly glorious time for each one of us. Knocking prayer, right, perseveres until the impossible becomes possible. That's what knocking prayer does. You know, my mom prayed for me, knocking prayer, right, that God would just bring sense into my life. And all of a sudden, one day, right, you know, the day before Easter, 1992, bang, something went off in me. And I know it's because of my mom's persistent prayer, right, of her knocking, asking the Lord to save me, and asking the Lord to really have His way in my life, just knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. Think about this. Some of the most precious things that we have in our lives is because we knocked on that door. I said, God, right? I know this, right? I mean, I used to do a little time with Jung, right? We used to meet every week, you know, and we talk about head on for like an hour, you know, and then God for like 5 seconds, you know. Just kidding. I'm embellishing. All right, but, you know, but we spent a lot of time talking, you know, and I can see his heart. He's just, you know, knocking prayer, always knocking, right? And now the door has been opened. Hallelujah. Amen? Well, not quite yet, right? We still have to go to premarital counseling and stuff, right? But this, right, this is miracle-working prayer, right? I mean, precious prayer for us when we really knock. I mean, I can give you testimony after testimony in my own life where I really knocked and knocked and knocked, and God opened the door. You know, and because I knocked in these things, those things became so much more precious to me. You know what I mean? I mean, so much more beautiful for me. And not because I worked so hard, right? But because God was so gracious to me. As I kept knocking, as I kept seeing, I kept seeking Him, right? All of a sudden, the door gets opened up. And we enter in the door, we enter into His arms, right? And like I said, it's an incredibly glorious thing, right? This is miracle-working prayer. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. This is the story of the demoniac. In 14 it says, "And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, that they could not cure him.' And Jesus answered and said, 'O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'Because of your littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.'" Right? This is miracle-working prayer. It's a prayer that's knocking. The prayer that's going before God and just constantly knocking. Right, you know God's will. You know God wants to bless and prosper your business. Right, you know God wants to bless and prosper your relationships. Right, and throughout your life, you know that God wants to really begin to move over your finances and really, you know, bring you out of debt or whatever it may be. And you know these things, and you sit there and you just keep knocking away because you know this is God's will for your life. And then eventually, God opens the door. Right, and we enter in, and there's so much joy and so many things that come through our lives. See. All things are possible when we ask, when we seek, and when we knock. Amen? Let's close our eyes. For the next few months, we're going to go through the whole theology of prayer. I want to ask you today, is there some part of that praying going on in your life Are you right now in the mode of asking? Are you in the mode of seeking His will? Or are you in the mode of knocking? You know God's will and it's just not happening. The reason why I went short today, relatively speaking, I guess, for me, is I wanted to give you some time to pray. I wanted to give each of you some time to seek God's face. Maybe about something that you know is His will. Maybe you're trying to find out His will. Or maybe you're just at the point of just knocking on that door for His will to happen. Whatever it may be, I just wanted to give you an opportunity today to really go before Him and to ask, to seek, or knock, or do all three at once, whatever may be the case. I'm just going to have the worship team just play really softly before us so He can just cover our voices for a bit so we can go before Him. So whatever you're seeking, asking, or knocking for, let's go to God right now, amen? Let's go to Him in prayer. Thank you. You actually start listening to things you're saying and creates greater accountability for us. So let's vocalize our prayers before God. And if you're knocking, man, I encourage you to knock. I believe that God wants to release a spirit of intercession, a spirit of prayer over this church. That's why we're going to focus so much this year on prayer. And He wants to turn this place into a house of prayer for all nations. And let's begin to give ourselves to that. God's going to begin to stir some of you even now in intercession. Some of you guys are going to begin to weep. You're going to begin to cry. You're going to cry out to God. Let the Holy Spirit do that in your life right now. Be a channel of His heart. Yes, God. Yes, God. We give ourselves a prayer, Father. We give ourselves to You. Let's really pray for each other, huh?
and dying. Lord Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that sees, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, seeks your face, oh God of Jacob.
Desire, God, to us to work in this divine transaction. But not because, Lord, you want to withhold things from us, God, but that you want to be in intimate relationship with us. And so we thank you, God, that even though you ask us to seek you, God, that you're always seeking us. Or even though you ask us to knock on the door, that you're always knocking on our door, God. Or that we're supposed to ask you, God, but you're always asking us. And so, Lord, I pray that you continue to lead us, God, especially through this year, Lord, as we desire to really break through, God. And I know in this room, God, there are so many precious prayer requests, Lord. There's prayer requests for our families, God, Lord, for our sick mothers and fathers, Lord, for our grandparents, God, for our parents' businesses, Lord God, and for their financial well-being, Lord, and for our futures, God, and for, Lord, our spouses that you want to give us, and for our spouses that we have now that you want us to pray for. There's so many things, God, in our life, Lord, that we are seeking you for. We pray, God, that this year with a year of breakthrough, that you would break through in our lives, God, that you would answer our prayers, Lord, that we would have clean hands and a pure heart, and God, that you would hear us, God, and that you'd move swiftly, God, with our words, with our prayers, because we know your will, Jesus, and we're walking in intimacy with you. So bless us, God. Be with brothers and sisters that are fasting, God. Lord, help them to feast with you. They give up the legitimate pleasure in this world for the divine, the incredible pleasures of knowing you. So watch over us, God. We commit this week to you. We bless you. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Would you hug someone next to you? God bless you guys. Have a great week. Please fill out those cards. I'll see you guys here early tomorrow morning. Praise God.
Most to the least. Serve.